In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." Thus far our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints of God, some things are inevitable. Some things, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try to avoid them, some things are just inevitable. How's that saying go? Nothing certain but death and taxes. We've come a long way in medical technology with treatments and medicines, and we've learned to put off death a really long time. But there's still no avoiding it. We all die. But that does not make it okay. The world would like to tell you that death is natural, that death is just a part of life, that some say that you should just come to terms with a loved one's death. But nothing could be further from the truth. There is nothing natural about death. Jesus never said that death was okay. In fact, Jesus isn't okay with death at all. Death is the result of and punishment for sin. Death is sad. Death is what works against humanity. So no, death is not okay, nor is it natural. Jesus doesn't like death. But Jesus visits his people to bring life to the dead and take death upon himself. In the gospel lesson for this day, it's a story. A story about a woman. A woman who is no stranger to grief and sorrow. This woman was in the very midst of knowing what death was all about. As Jesus and the disciples went to the outskirts of the town of Nain, they spotted this woman in the midst of a funeral procession. The deceased was this poor woman's son. We aren't sure how old this woman's son was. When Luke says it was a man who died, he is merely identifying his gender and not his age. But we might conclude that this boy or this son was somewhat young because Jesus calls him young man and he gave him back to his mother. But at any rate, a parent losing a child is hard enough. But what's more is that this is the woman's only son. And to make matters worse, this isn't the first time this woman had been in the funeral procession. St. Luke identifies this woman as a widow. She had been through this all once before with her late husband. So it's no wonder that such a crowd from the town was with her. We can only imagine the kind of pain or hurt this woman must have in having to bury her one and only son after already losing her husband. Now at this point, stop and put yourself in the story. What would you do? You're coming out of the town of Nain, and you see this woman in the funeral procession. And what do you do? Well, what do we do today? When we see a hearse, we maybe pull over to the side of the road, or perhaps remove our cap out of respect. And if you know the person, you might greet them and give them your condolences. But Jesus doesn't do any of this. Jesus says to her, "Do not weep." And it's not that Jesus is being mean. In fact, the text says he had great compassion for her. But Jesus knew where real comfort was to be found. Jesus knew that there wasn't real comfort in telling the woman how great her son was, or by telling her that he had lived a good life, or that death was a part of life. Though we sometimes say these things with the best intentions to bring comfort to the bereaved, we ought to think just a minute theologically about these things. Perhaps the woman's son was a really great person. He was nice to others. He helped others. But when we're talking about comforting those who are mourning, before God, there is no salvation in our own goodness. We don't get to heaven by being nice or by being great. So it gives us no real comfort in the midst of death. But Jesus here isn't interested in giving this woman a kind of superficial comfort. Jesus wasn't interested in just making her feel better. Jesus is interested in ending the sorrow and the sadness. "Do not weep," he says. The only way to end this kind of sorrow and sadness that comes with death is to end death itself. And that's exactly what Jesus does. "Young man, I say to you, arise." And at that moment, the boy is brought back from death to life. And all sorrow and all sadness that this mother had for the boy is immediately over. And that's exactly the kind of comfort that Jesus gives. Not the kind of comfort that sort of soothes over your hurt, but the kind of comfort that comes in resolving your sorrow. This account of Jesus should bear on our hearts and our minds in the midst of our hardships and our sufferings. Where is God when we suffer? Where is God when we mourn the death of loved ones? God is here in our midst during all of our hardships and all of our struggles. Just as Jesus comes out to meet the widow outside of Nain, so also Jesus meets us in our hardships. Jesus is about the business of being with his people to comfort them in the midst of struggles and heartache. This is the central theme of Christianity. That Jesus did not come from the heavenly realms so that he could show us how to live. Jesus took on human flesh to be with his creation and to redeem them from their sin with his holy, precious blood. We have a God who tasted death himself, the only person who truly knows what death really is. Anyone you go to, though they might say they understand, and they might have had a similar experience, they don't truly know what you're going through. But God is the only one who has been there. He is the only one that has tasted death himself. He died for you and was raised for you and is truly the only one who can understand. In this gospel lesson, just after Jesus performs this miracle, the people realize who this man is and they proclaim, "God has visited his people." So in the midst of sufferings and hardships, we remember the promise of God that he is in our midst. The place that God has put himself in the midst of our suffering is on the cross. The place of the greatest suffering of all. Jesus puts himself in the place of the Father's wrath as a substitution for us. Though we're the ones who deserve God's wrath, Jesus puts himself there so that we don't have to. So when we question whether or not God loves us, we must only look to the cross, the place of God's greatest expression of love. the criminal's execution cross. The place where wretched felons would be put to death is the greatest place that we would see God's love for us. Because it's in that place that Jesus took away the punishment for all sin. The place where he defeats sin and death for us. We remember in Luther's Small Catechism that there are three common enemies of humanity that always go together and are never apart from one another. Sin, death, and the devil. So in the Garden of Eden, there was the devil in the form of a serpent. And after the devil came sin, and once there was sin, then you have death. The three cannot be separated from one another. But Jesus came to defeat all three by his death on the cross. It's on the cross that Jesus wins the forgiveness of all sin, has won victory over Satan, and in the glorious resurrection, we see that Jesus defeats death also. By the death of Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin, life from death, and salvation from the evil one. And so, you who are dying, which is all of you, get ready. Death is coming, and there is no avoiding it. Prepare yourselves for the day that death comes knocking at the door. So what do you do? What do you do to get ready for death? People have all kinds of things that they do in preparation for death. They get with their attorneys to prepare a will, or maybe contact the insurance company to make sure the life insurance policy is in order. Some might even have a bucket list, a checklist of things to do before they die. Others think that in the last moments they must do good, more good than to make up for all the bad things that they've done. Or most people wish to gather with their loved ones. While some of these things might be good, none of them are what you really must do to prepare for death. So what is it? What must you do to prepare for death? The answer? Jesus has done it all for you. There is nothing that is required of you in this life that Jesus has not earned and credited to you already. You are already prepared to die if you have Jesus. You need Jesus. It's by faith in him that you have the forgiveness of sins, and because he's the one who has defeated death. Death because of his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. Death no longer has its sting. Death no longer carries its punch. When we look to the cross, we see our Lord who tasted death for us. And when we look at the empty tomb, we see our Lord who overcame death. Who did away with all death for us, just as he did away with death for the boy in Nain. So now we who are baptized and believe in Christ, we too, though we will taste death, we will rise from death just like Jesus and just like the Son at Nain. Death is coming, but there's no longer a sting to it. Now, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. With Jesus, we don't fear death. And as St. Paul says, for me to live is Jesus and to die is gain. Death has become a portal to the eternal bliss and the heavenly mansions that God has prepared for you. So there's nothing certain except death and taxes? Well, that's not true at all. Because in the gospel, we are given great certainty that we have life in Christ Jesus. By the death of Jesus, death no longer has a certainty, but rather a temporary annoyance. Jesus cannot stand death. God hates death. But we have a God who took on death for us. God hates death so much that he wore it himself so we would not have to. We have a God that is not far off in some galaxy from his creation. God entered this world and tasted death himself. And so by doing so, defeated it once and for all. And so, dear saints, Christ says to you this day, do not weep. Christ is arisen from the dead, and we too will rise with him on the last day. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.